Hey everybody, it's JJ Conway. I want to welcome you back to our Healing My Sisters virtual summit. So this year's theme is Revive and Thrive, and oh my goodness, I have been so blessed by these talks. I know you have too. Now let me tell you something you may not realize, especially if you're brand new to the summit, and that is, even though all of these talks are free, you can upgrade today and get MP3 downloads of the talks, as well as lifetime access to watch online the ones that are video. See, with the MP3 access, you can be encouraged day in and day out. And anytime you feel down, you can pull up the summit on your phone and start listening to something that's going to turn your life around. And speaking of turning lives around, I have got a special treat for you today. Our guest's name is Darla Bailey. She is a disciple of Christ, a daughter of the one true King, called and anointed by Him to share a message of His love, mercy, and grace. Her desire is to help others experience all that God has for them. And today, she is going to talk to us about how God's grace carried her through college, even when her heart had grown cold against Him. And the day that she realized, y'all, the day that she realized He had been faithful even though she wasn't, it was her day of awakening. It changed her life forever, and I hope her talk today will change your life forever. Buckle up and prepare to be encouraged, y'all. This is such a fantastic story of triumph in the Lord. Darla, thank you so much for being here today. Can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Janine, and thank you for having me. My name, again, is Darla Bailey, and by profession, I'm a teacher. I teach fifth grade literacy in Camden, Arkansas, but I have a true heart to be full-time ministry for the kingdom of God. I just want to share Jesus' love with others. I have a prayer group, and I'm doing my first mini conference this year that I'm excited about. And God is stretching me and using me to go grow with Him. And hopefully this is just one step in the process, in the journey.
Yes, it is. It has been a journey for you.
Yes, definitely a journey. And that's what I want to talk about today, is my journey through college. I tried to go to college right after high school. Well, not completely right after. I went to Bible school for a few months first. And then I came home and I did go to college and I didn't stick with it. I dropped out. I thought I had to do it all on my own. I thought I had to pay for it on my own. I wasn't knowledgeable about what was out there to help me with it. My parents didn't go to college. They didn't really know how to help me go to college or what to do or how to find financial aid. And so I was working two or three jobs and trying to go to school, and that didn't work out for me. So I just ended up working. And fast forward years later, I had gotten married and I had three babies. And I will never forget the day that I did decide to go back to school. And mind you, I'd tried before, and it didn't work. So this was a very memorable day for me. I was 28 years old. I had my newborn in my arms. I was sitting on the couch in my small rent house. My one-year-old was playing in the floor beside my feet, and my four-year-old was running through the house acting like Spider-Man fighting supervillains. I was married, and I loved him with my whole heart. We had been married for 8 years, and my husband struggled. He had mental illnesses. He was bipolar, and he struggled with some drug addictions. We'd already been through rehab. We had recently been where he had a stint in the mental illness hospital. He wasn't working. I wasn't working. I just had a baby. And I looked around at my children. And my husband wasn't there at the time. He was with his friends, taking care of his habits that he had. And I was desperate. I needed to take care of my children. I didn't know how. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was struggling, looking at my kids and thinking, how am I going to take care of these sweet babies? How will we survive? And I questioned myself and I questioned God. I did have a faith in God and I loved God. I grew up in church. But I was still somewhat of a baby Christian, not as strong in my faith. And you'll see how my faith grew through the rest of this story. But I was sitting there on the couch looking at my children, holding my newborn in my arms, and I saw a community college book of courses on the table. My husband had picked it up for himself. I had already been broken and thought that I wasn't good enough, I wasn't smart enough, because part of his illness, part of my husband's illness at that time, he didn't always talk to me very nicely, and there were times when I thought stupid was part of my name. And so I was down. I felt worthless. I felt hopeless. But I knew I needed to do something. And something then said, just pick up that book and look through it. So I started turning the pages of the book. And I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I could do a six-month associate little certificate. I wasn't even reaching for a degree at that time. I didn't even think about an associate's degree. I was just thinking maybe I could get this little accounting certificate or office secretary, and maybe I could go work in an office or do something. I have to do something. I have to do something for my kids. I have to be able to take care of them. And so I started filling out the paperwork. I filled out the applications. I went ahead and I had to write a letter to financial aid because I had blown it before. Because, like I said, I tried to go to college actually more than once before, and I had blown my attempt before. So I had to write a letter to financial aid and ask for a second chance. I had to apply to this college. It eventually all worked out. Okay, so during this time, I started going to school Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. My husband wasn't working. His only job was to take care of the two boys, 4 years old and a one-year-old. And I didn't trust him with my baby, so I had a friend keep my newborn. And things would happen. I'd come home, and my four-year-old had almost set the house on fire. But I was still trying to make it through school. And I would go to my professors and I would talk to them and I would tell them, you know, I'm struggling. This is what's going on at home. And they would work with me. And fast forward, there was a time when my husband was supposed to be watching the kids. And I think he was five at the time, my five-year-old boy had gotten in the bullpen, the landlord's bullpen, with a bull. And then let him out because he got scared. Yeah. So then there was a bull running through our countryside. So I get home from school. I'm finding this stuff out. And eventually I came to a point, even though I loved my husband, and we had been through so much already, I had to make a decision at that point. What am I going to do? Are we going to keep doing this? I can't go to school and function and really do something for my kids. He is literally draining the life out of me, even though I loved him. And so we separated. And then I ended up working three jobs and going to school. I would go to school in the morning after dropping the kids off at daycare. I would come home, get them, feed them supper, bathe them, take them to bed, and we would read a Bible story, and I would sing songs to them, and they learned the song, He Paid a Debt, and then I would pray with them, and I'd put them to bed, and my dad would come in, and then I'd go to the all-night daycare that was five houses down from it, and I would work till 3 in the morning. And then I would go home and go to bed and sleep for about 5 hours or four, however many hours I could get. And I wake up and do it all over again. And then on weekends, I worked at Walmart. And during this time, I was a struggling Christian. I believed in God. I loved God. But I struggled. I struggled with my faith because I was just struggling, period. Struggling to make things work, struggling, just working so hard, wanting to do the best for my kids, not having a lot of support. And I wasn't making it to church. I wasn't in a group with support, so I didn't have a lot of support system. My dad did help. And on the weekends, my husband, we were still married, he was supposed to keep the kids. Well, the Lord is faithful no matter what. And one day I just felt this urgency, call your kids. And so I made the phone call, and my five-year-old answered. And I heard my daughter, who was one at the time, screaming in the background, and my heart just sank. I was supposed to go to work in about 30 minutes, and I didn't know how I was going to go to work when I knew my kids were not being taken care of. I asked Jaden, I said, where is your daddy? What is going on? He's asleep. We can't wake him up. And I heard him yelling at him, and he didn't wake up. So I got off the phone. I called my mom, who happened to live in the same town that my kids were in. It was about 40 minutes away from me. And I said, you've got to go get the kids right now. She was in church. I called her away from church. So she went to get them, and she was able, my husband was so out of it, she was able to walk in his apartment and take my kids without his knowledge. So I called into work, and I went to get my children, and things didn't go well that day. It ended up my husband took an overdose and tried to commit suicide. And so then I'm struggling, and I'm praying to God, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? Am I supposed to stay here and take care of him? Do I go back to school? Do I go back to, I don't know what to do. And I've struggled with this decision still, and later you'll find out why. But I left my husband in the hospital. I did take him to the hospital. He was in the hospital. I called his mom. I called his dad. And then I went and got my children, and I went home. And that was a hard decision. But, and I tried to argue with God about different things in that situation. But my husband did make it. He did live from that at that time. But he just kept getting worse. And I was still trying to go to school. So at this time, I did manage to graduate with an associate's degree. And that was amazing to me because I didn't know that I'd make it that far. And I made it with a 3.98. Wow. And so then I'm ready to go on. I decided that I wanted to be a teacher. And so
Can we just pause for a second? I know I said I was going to just give you the block, but can we just pause for a second and celebrate what you just said? It just registered in my head that you said 3.98 after all of this that you talked about. Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Wow.
3.98.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And I didn't think I was capable of it. I had heard I was stupid so many times. I won't tell you all the other words that came with that, but I had heard I was stupid so many times that to do that was truly a work of God's grace because I didn't think I could do it. But I did move on, and then I went from community college to the university in my hometown. And so I'm still married at this time, but we decide to go ahead and divorce, even though we both didn't really agree with divorce. We knew we couldn't live together, and I couldn't get any financial help that I needed. I wanted to apply for a single mom's scholarship, and I couldn't get that because I was still legally married. Yet my husband and I loved each other still, and so we still were trying to work on our relationship. I loved him with my whole entire being. But he got worse, and he was doing drugs. And so then there came a point where he was calling me and harassing me while I was at school. I was struggling with functioning at school. There was a time when he got mad about something, and my 6-year-old was over at his house. Notice the progression of the ages. Jaden was at his house, and he called me, and he said, "I'm going to kill myself while Jaden's here." And so I rush over there, and I'm trying to get Jaden out of there and trying to talk to Joe, and he's not letting me have my child, so I had to get the police involved. And the neighbors went to church with me, so they called our pastor. And when my pastor got there and he knew the story, he looked at me and he said, "Darla, you've got to do something to protect you, yourself and your children." And so during this time, I don't know what to do. I want to focus on my kids and I want to go to school, and but Joe has taken up everything. And then I made another phone call, and his mother even said to me, "He's been threatening to hurt your dad and you. He's mad, and I think you need to seek protection." So I prayed about it, and I said, "Lord, if you want there to be a restraining order, you will take care of it. I'll go through the motions, but if you don't want it to happen, then it won't happen." Well, it went through. We went to court, and he basically hung himself in court. He told them he wasn't safe to be around the kids. So then we went to supervised visits. All the meantime, I'm still trying to go to school, try to take care of 3 kids, trying to work while all this is going on. And did I mention I loved him? I loved him with my whole heart. So no matter what we were going through, you know, well,
you're that kind of loving, giving person.
You know, about 6 months later, after we got the restraining order, and then he was supposed to have supervised visits, but he screwed that up too. Well, maybe I shouldn't say screwed up. You might have to edit that part out.
It's okay.
His actions and attitude during the whole supervised visits made it to where he couldn't find anybody that wanted to supervise the visits anymore. So 6 months we hadn't seen him. I'm still going to school. And at this time I do have a faith in God, and I'm going to church. I'm taking my kids to church. I'm not, at this point in time, I probably wasn't reading my Bible every day. I did pray. I did go to church, but I wasn't strong in my faith. Not like I am now. And anyway, November 2005, I got a phone call. Joe died. And when he died, my whole world shattered, came crumbling in on me. Because like I said before, even though we'd been through so much, I loved him with my whole entire being. I loved every part of him, the good, the bad, the ugly. But he died, and then all I can remember that day is thinking, my children don't have a daddy. My kids don't have a daddy. My kids don't have a daddy. And at that point, God did just come in and hug on me and love on me. People came in. I don't even remember everything that happened that day. People loved on me. God loved on me through people. And I knew that. I did. At that point in time, I knew that. I knew that God was faithful, and I knew he loved me. And I even got up around Thanksgiving a couple weeks after that, and I said, "God is so faithful. I'm going through this, but God is faithful." But fast forward a couple months, the people kind of disappeared on me. People left. They didn't keep coming around and checking on me. And I wasn't over it yet. I was still like, how is this world still spinning? And I'm still trying to go to school, not doing a very good job of it. my heart started growing very cold towards the Lord. I was angry. I was upset. I was hurt. I was devastated. I had these children that didn't have a daddy. They didn't understand why they didn't have a daddy. I didn't understand why I didn't have a daddy. I didn't understand why was my life going like this. Why was I working so hard and doing all this? And things just keep happening, and my world is just falling apart. And how am I going to make it through school? And all these questions, and I would just cry, and I would go sit in front of the college, and I would sit there, and I would look at the building, and tears would just be running down my face because I just didn't think I could do it. And I did pray. I did talk to God even when I was angry at him, and I would say, Lord, I can't do this. I can't go in that building. I can't do this unless you go with me. Well, he did go with me. He did. And I think I failed one of my courses during this time because I quit going. I quit going to that class. I didn't think I could physically handle going to that class and listening to that particular teacher. And I think I did fail that course because I just quit going. But during this time, little things would happen. God would still do things for me, even though I was growing cold towards him, and I started making decisions that were not normal for me. I started allowing myself to talk to men that were not good for me. I started allowing myself to practice behaviors that I knew were wrong. I knew they were wrong. I knew it was a sin, and I did it anyway. I said, Lord, I don't care that this is a sin. I actually told him that one day. I don't care that this is a sin. I'm doing this anyway. And I started growing very cold towards God. My heart started to harden. I still went through the motions. I took my children to church, and I sat in the back. Because I knew they needed to be there, but I sat in the back and I was very cold and I was very hard and I was living this other life, making stupid decisions, wrong decisions, and doing things that I knew were wrong. And God still remained faithful to me. And I will never forget the day that I really, truly realized that. After my kids' daddy died, they started getting Social Security survivor benefits. And at first, it wasn't really very much at all. It was maybe $500, something like that. And I was a single mom trying to go to school, trying to make it, trying to make ends meet, trying to make it through college. And $500 a month was not very much for us to live on. I was not working full-time at this time because I just couldn't. God had prepared me at one point and told me to quit my job and focus on school and the kids. And that was like 2 months before Joe died. And so he kind of prepared me ahead of time for some things. I was sitting in my car, and the day I realized how truly faithful God is, I had planned a trip to California. Why? I don't know, except that I'd always wanted to go to California, and I'd never been, and this was a time in my life when I had just decided to just do things. I didn't want to wait around on the right time or the right this or whatever. So I planned a trip to California and was trying to pay for it a little bit at a time. And then I get a check in the mail out of nowhere to help me pay for this trip. And I did literally have to just stop. When I had gotten the mail and I was in my car, a lot of things happen in my car for some reason. God speaks to me there. But I opened that checkup and I just started crying because I realized that I had been living a hard, cold life towards God, and yet He was still blessing me. And I just had to cry. And I said, Lord, why? Why are you being so good to me when I have been so bad to you? And He said, Darla, I love you whether you are doing the right things or not. I love you, and I wanted to prove my faithfulness to you. And that did change me. That turned my life around. And He walked in those college doors with me. And I graduated. That was something I really, even the day of graduation, the day of graduation ceremony, I kept thinking, they're going to call me. They're going to say this isn't real. You're missing something. Something's not right. You didn't get this or whatever. I just couldn't be happy because it took so much. And there's probably stuff I'm leaving now that it was so hard. It was such a difficult road. I mean, there were days when I didn't have gas money and I would have to put my two youngest in a stroller and get my six-year-old and walk him 1 mile to school, drop him off, turn around, walk another 3 miles to the daycare, drop the two youngest and the stroller off, and then walk 3 miles to the college and do the school stuff, and then walk 3 miles back and go through all that all over again because I didn't have the gas money to put in my car, or maybe my car had broken down. There were times when I couldn't afford the books, and especially if it was a summer class, I couldn't afford the books, and so I didn't buy books. I listened in class. I took really good notes. I looked stuff up online, and I studied, and I made it. And then all the other stuff that was going on, college was difficult, but God walked me through it with all the personal stuff that was going on, with my heart growing cold. He stayed by me every step of the way. And He was faithful, and He blessed me no matter what. And I can't forget what God did for me. And then it finally, the day that I got the diploma in the mail, because, you know, when you walk through the ceremony, you don't actually get the diploma. They give you a rolled-up piece of paper. And so I still couldn't be happy. I still thought somebody's going to call me and say this isn't real. But the day I got the diploma in the mail, I did a praise dance in my living room. I truly did a praise dance in my living room because God remained faithful to me, and He helped me through so many of the trials and one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my entire life during that time. And He remained faithful. And what I want to end with is a few verses that have stuck with me from that time period. Romans 5, 3, and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. I don't think I quite ever understood that scripture before going through all that I went through at that time. Because I would think, why would I want to glory in tribulations? Why do I want to glory in that? But now that I look back and I can see how God stuck with me through all those trials and all those tribulations and how hard it was, it did. I persevered through it. He helped me do it, but I had to take the action to do it. I'm the one that had to say, I'm going to get up and I'm still going to go to school. I'm the one that had to say, okay, God, I need you to go with me I'm the one that had to work through it. And so through those tribulations, it did produce perseverance in me, which helped to build my character and my faith through that whole experience, that about that 4 or 5 year time period. God truly worked on my character, which now gives me hope so that when I go through something now, I can look back at that and go, oh, well, this is a piece of cake. This is nothing compared to what I've been through.
Right, right. Nothing compared to walking 8 miles a day to drop your kids off and get to work.
Right. Right.
Get to school. Wait a second. 1 plus 3 plus another 3. That's like 12 miles a day.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't every day, but there were several days I had to do that, especially during one semester.
So you can tell people you don't ever give up. God is with you.
Yes. Yes. God is faithful. And that's just one story. I've got more. We don't have time for them all.
We don't, but we're going to have to get you back on another talk because I am just, my heart is overflowing. And I'm just thinking about God's grace, his faithfulness, his mercy, and it's making my problems seem so insignificant when we compare it against the greatness of God's love for us. And,
yes.
And I think we just need to be reminded of that because sometimes we get in our own field and we totally forget how great God's love is for us.
Oh, yes. He loves us so much that even when we turn away, we still belong to him. He still comes chasing after us. It's like that song, Reckless Love, that reminds me so much of that time period in my life where it talks about there's no mountain you won't climb. There's no wall you won't tear down. Or I can't, maybe I may be saying it wrong, but that song really resonates with my spirit in that time period of my life
mm-hmm.
and how God literally came chasing me down and said, hey, I'm not letting go of you. You can't walk away from me. You're still mine. And he was faithful, so faithful.
Yes. Yes, he is. Well, Darla, this has been a powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us today. And for those
of you who are listening,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just saying thank you for having me.
And for those of you who are listening, I know you've been moved just as much as I have. I want you to grab 2 or 3 sisters and send them to this website so they can hear this talk before it's taken down. Or better yet, I want you to go and buy an upgrade. Buy VIP passes for your friends so that you can give them, like for Mother's Day. What a great gift of the story. You know, I'm not going to put her on the spot, y'all, but I'll bet Darla wouldn't even mind if we just made this talk a gift for people without even having to upgrade. And I'm not gonna put you on the spot. We'll talk about it later. And if that's not cool, then I'll just cut that part out of the recording. But guys, this is powerful, and people need to be encouraged. So grab a couple people, get them hearing Darla's story, and let's all heal each other of these hurts and these things that keep us from really accepting God's grace and his forgiveness and his love and his faithfulness to us. I'm JJ Conway. I want to thank you guys for being here. Thanks again, Darla. Everybody, y'all take care and be blessed.